That was a powerful song. We could have almost said amen and gone home, because it almost says exactly what I want to say this morning. And so this morning I am excited for us, because I think we like victory. We like to win. Maybe it's a board game, and maybe you played lots of board games over Christmas. Or maybe it's your favorite team or something else. Maybe it's trying out for something and you get on. We all like to win. And on this year of 2020, we are just a few days finally from 2021. And I don't think we're going to have any trouble looking in the rearview mirror and waving goodbye to 2020 with all that has gone on. There's something about the clock at midnight on January 31st that brings new hope. When that clock hits midnight and it's it's 2021, it's a feeling, at least for some, of hope, of a new start. Because to say that 2020 was an ever-ending roller coaster for many of us, at least for me, I think is almost an understatement. You know, a worldwide pandemic. And I had a laugh because I was worried that I was going to mess up that word, because I remember when we started this and I did those daily things and I tried to say it, I couldn't hardly say that word at all. And so many months later, I can finally say it. But when we think of that pandemic and how it affected us in so many ways, emotionally and physically, families who had members who came down with this virus, saw firsthand how devastating this virus is. Our medical professionals and our first responders were on the front lines and are on the front lines of this battle. Work environments, schoolrooms no longer look the same. Others were affected by businesses closing down, which caused loss of jobs, a racial division that caused each one of us to look inside and see how we view others. An election that just never seemed like it's going to end. Our list could go on and on. Going against him, he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Revelation's unique images and messages are the Spirit's way to inspire John to tell the churches in Asia Minor of God's victory. John was anxious about this because at the time he was exiled, and all he could do was write letters to his people and to his churches who were being severely persecuted by the Emperor Domitian. Like John's reader, we may not see the victory, especially with all that we experience in our lives. Yet Revelation 5 captures the tension well. Barney Johnson, one of our elders, is going to read that chapter for us this morning. Let us stand as God's word is read.
Please look ahead into your scripture reading to verse 13. There's an important thing I'm going to be asking all of us to do together when we get there. Just giving you a heads up. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, and he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." And then I looked, and I heard the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying together, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. May God be blessed by the public reading of his word. You may be seated.
Thank you, Barney. In these few verses, John takes us on a tour of salvation history. He spells out how the triune God symphony of salvation echoes through history. We see in Revelation 5 God's way of victory. Here we see the victory of the Lamb and the response to the Lamb. John is telling the church that Jesus has the victory, but he uses inside language. And so those that are persecuting the church would not understand exactly what he's saying. And I think that, at least for me, is sometimes the frustrating part about Revelation, because it can't totally figure out. But Carla and her class that she's taking right now to get her master's, she got a book about reading Revelation and kind of gave me a new picture, a new insight to it, that and how to read it. And so here this morning, let's look at some of that imagery that he's talking about here, the scroll. And although the scroll is not titled, it's written on both sides. And what the scroll means has been debated by scholars for years and years. And so we're not going to come to a conclusion this morning. But I believe the scroll is God's way of condemning the wicked, those persecuting the church, and rewarding the righteous, the faithful ones who follow Jesus. Today, if we were to see a sculpture of a Roman Empire holding a scroll, we would interpret that sculpture as a person of power and authority. And so when we think of the throne room, and as we see the scroll being handed to the Lamb, we see the Father handing power and authority and sharing it with Jesus. The imagery doesn't stop there. It continues with two unique titles. And although these titles are not found anywhere else in the Bible, they point back to the Old Testament imagery of the coming Messiah. These two titles are given to the one who is worthy to open the scroll, the Lion of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion. The Lion represents power and strength and majesty. It is a symbol of someone who has great influence and control over a certain area. The tribe of Judah. In Genesis, as the kingly tribe. The tribe of Israel through which the promise of Messiah would come. And out of the line of Judah, the king would come for the nation of Israel. And ultimately, this king would rule the world. The king would be the Messiah from the root of David. As Carla read earlier in Isaiah 11, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. This coming Messiah is called the root of Jesse, who is David's father. The image in Isaiah is that God's people is in exile. They are cut off from the promise. Isaiah uses this image of a cut down tree, and all that is left is the stump. And from out of the stump comes something that begins to grow. And as the shoot that grows out of the king line of Jesse, it is David's father. And in Revelation, John is telling us that this root, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he is able to take the scroll. God is at work beginning to bring salvation. But God brings salvation in a way that God brings it, not in the way we might think or want. Because what happens next is completely surprising. John's vision, now he sees. And what does he see? Is the complete opposite what we would consider as kingly power. When we heard the Lion of Judah, we would go, yes, from the root of David, sure, why not? But when we see kingly power, what we see standing in the middle of the throne is a lamb. A lamb that looked like he had been slain. The lamb is stunning imagery. How can a slain lamb be a king? How can a slain lamb open the scroll? Why does salvation come in and through this image of humble service? We read in Philippians 2 of Jesus humbling himself, taking on full humanity while retaining full divinity. He is fully divine. He is God. He is full of divine power. And so in God's symphony, we see that power and service come together. They flow together in Jesus. Full of divine power, Jesus humbles himself to death, even death on the cross. He is the Lamb who was slain. So Jesus is the one who can open the scroll and fulfill the Father's plan of salvation. As Jesus takes the scroll, he becomes the object of worship. Four living creatures and the elders fall down before him. What John is telling his readers and what he is telling us today, he is telling his church, keep on going. You are on the right path. You're following the Lamb. You're in God's will. Your worship is worthy. Your worship is right and true. Continue on. This would have brought great comfort to those that were being persecuted, that were tried, and they were tired and weary people. It would have come just at the right time. God in Christ, the Lamb, looked like they did, like we do. The angels and hosts of heaven worshiped just like we do. And their response and our response to the Lamb is the victory. John knew that this was an odd-looking victory. The story of salvation is the story of victory coming out of apparent defeat. Again, for those of us that have been Christians for a long time, Christ followers, okay, it maybe makes more sense, but when you think about it and you try to picture it as someone that hasn't come to the understanding of who Jesus is, and we see and we hear of a lamb that was slain, that died, it just doesn't make sense. How can that be a king? Because when we think of a lion, they roar with such great might. That's what John should have saw. But he saw a lamb that was obedient. A vine begins to grow out of the stump. Jesus died on the cross. crushed and cut off from life itself. But 3 days later, he rose again. No one in heaven or earth or under the earth could take the scroll, but Jesus could, and he did, my friends. The seven churches scattered throughout Asia Minor were being harassed and persecuted. Yet, they are worshiping the Lamb that had been slain. John is encouraging those churches that what they are doing on earth is also what is going on in heaven. Their victory is their response through worship. And when he had taken the scroll, this life-changing victory changes everything. From weeping to hope. Again, if we go back early on in that chapter, John is weeping hard because he doesn't see anybody that can take the scroll. And the angel comes up and takes heart and says, "See what you now." And so it goes from weeping to hope and now to worshipful celebration. This symphony continues to grow and to grow from this point forward. The response of this victory is the response of worship. It starts out with four living creatures and 24 elders singing a new song. "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal. You were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, language, and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." The Lamb is worthy. The Lamb is slain. The Lamb ransomed us for God. And because of this ransom was paid, every tribe, every language, every people, every nation is exalted and made into a kingdom of priests to our God that shall reign with him even here on earth. We win, my friends. These wonderful words should cause us to live differently. We should see differently. We should be different. This symphony continues. And I like how Barney got others to read as well. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." As John looks around at the throne room, it begins to fill with voice of countless angels who join in on worshiping the Lamb. This imagery is of overflowing abundance of who Jesus is. He is all-powerful, the one who has ultimate control and will lead his church or his people through their trials. Wealth, the one who possesses all creation, all of heaven, all of earth. Wisdom, the Word became flesh. The smartest, most competent person in all of the universe is Jesus. Might, the one who mixes great might with grace and offers himself first for the salvation of the earth. And honor, the one whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. But it doesn't stop there. The vision continues to grow. The symphony doesn't stop. Now every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea joins in the symphony of worship. And I love how we all said it, because that's exactly what they did in Revelation 5. They joined in just like we joined in on that reading. John's vision includes us. It includes us here in Oswego or wherever you are watching this morning. You are a part of this. We too worship the Lamb this morning. I love how this vision builds and builds and builds on each other. I love how one of my commentaries describes this vision. He describes it like this at the beginning of verse 8, like a camera. John's attention begins to pull back with gradual moving out in an increasingly wide-angled lens. In verse 7, from the throne itself, to the guardians of the throne, to the infinite number of angel hosts, to all of creation in the universe. As we conclude this series, the Symphony of Christmas, we are reminded that music speaks to our reality. The first movement of our symphony moves to crisis. It moves and it begins to flow with kind of low and trembling chords, the sonata. The second movement of the symphony moves us to a crisis, but hints to a resolution, the Adagio. Builds. It begins to build anticipation. The third movie is a dance, the Suraj. I don't know if I said it right, but I can tell you right now, I've had that word down during the week because I got it on my computer and I listen to it every day. So these words, I'm doing my best at. But we watched. Remember, we watched that lifeful, that lighthearted dance which moved us? The fourth movie, the Caccio. There was harsh sounds because in life we have troubles. We need peace. We need hope. And Christmas Eve and this morning, the final, the finale, which bring peace, hope, and victory, my friends. This symphony, however, is not for our entertainment. It's not for us to just sit here and take it all in and, wow, that's wonderful. It's for our involvement. Each and every one of us has our voice in this symphony. Together we worship the Lamb because of who He is. He is the willing sacrifice. The Lamb gave His life to be ransomed so that we would become God's child. The symphony ends with victory and it ends with eternal worship. So as we conclude our service this morning, let's practice this eternal reality. Let's interact with this symphony of victory by worshiping together. We are going to sing two songs. And I want us to pretend and imagine. Let's imagine as we sing these two songs that we are participating in John's vision of Revelation 5 this morning that continues to grow and grow and grow to all people. We are the Lamb's people. He has secured our victory. Our rightful response is to join in on the symphony of heaven. Right here, right now, let us praise Him and so be filled with hope. Lord, this morning as we sing these two last songs, even with our masks on, even with distractions, Lord, may You be so pleased with our worship. May we join in that throne room. What an image that John drew for his church back then in Asia, that they could keep on going. Lord, this morning for us, 2020 was a keep on going sort of year. Many of us face so many challenges, so many things that just seemed maybe unfair or unrealistic and things we didn't agree with and things we wanted to fight. Lord, You came as a lamb and was sacrificed and You were slain. And so, Lord, as we worship now together, may we raise our voices just like the angels. Myriads and myriads and thousands and thousands. May we, each one of us, be one of them that would worship You. Lord, You have given us the victory. What a wonderful Advent season that we've enjoyed, a symphony of music, a symphony of Christmas that truly does bring hope. May we worship You this morning, the One who is worthy. Amen.
Will you stand with us? Dark.
So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah.
Thursday when I came to my office Thursday morning, this was sitting on my desk, a little lamb. And I thought, I did that exact thing. That's nice. Who would give that to me, I thought. And then I realized, coming to the Christmas Eve service, it was a part of the Christmas Eve service as a lamb. And then when I was reading over my message this morning, it was still on my desk. And so when I was sitting right there, I thought, I'm going to go and get it, a little bit off the cuff. When we see a lamb, we just don't imagine that he could come and save us. But when we sing about a lion, or from the tribe of Judah, we can get excited about that. And I think in that vision, as I just close our time this morning, I think in that vision, we need to hear those things. We need to hear that he's fighting our battles, that he's in it with us in the nitty-gritties of life. He's there for us. We need to hear those things. But what we really need to see, and what your friends and your families and your co-workers need to see, is the Lamb. The Lamb who brings hope. The Lamb who was slain. The Lamb who can be with them in their trials. And so my encouragement, as you go through this week and that clock hits 12 o'clock on December the 31st and we begin a new year and we... maybe there's new hope and new beginnings. My prayer for our church and our community is that they could hear that the one who is worthy, that every knee shall bow, is in it with them, that's in their troubles, that wants to give them hope in their troubles, that wants to be with them. But what they would see in us, what they would see in us is a lamb who's patient, who's soft and cuddly, somebody to walk alongside. And then when we have relationship, we can talk the truth and we can be the truth and we can do those sort of things. But they would first see that we love them as Christ loved us. And so I think that that vision that in Revelation 5 that we needed to hear this morning, that John heard, that John was told, stop weeping. It's going to be all right. There is somebody that's going to take that scroll. And he's a lion. And he's from a tribe that was prophesied years and years ago, and now he's come to take the scroll. And as it began to unfold, John saw a lamb that was slain for you and I. And so as we go today, tomorrow, into next year, may people see Jesus in us. May you go in his peace, and may you go in his love, and may you receive his hope today. Have a wonderful day, everyone.